Welcome. Winning at Life, the daily wrap where you can get your financial fix today for a better tomorrow. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, you can probably guess, we're going to talk about the very historic milestone being crossed today, 21,000 on the Dow. Now, look, there's a lot more to talk about in the financial world, but this is sort of a record-breaking streak. Just 24 business days, market days, between 20 and 21,000. The good times are going to continue. We'll talk about that. Also, I have a nice little health-related topic, and I'm kind of concerned about this one because it hits me right between the eyes, Gregory. We sit down most of the day at work. Don't you?
No, I'm up and down.
Oh, well, okay. You mean...
Look, we're going hours. Yeah, I sit down more than I stand up. But, you know, I don't have a personal office.
Yeah, I guess you don't, do you? Anyway, no. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also reach out and find us via the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. Send us a text message that way. Really, that's how all the cool kids are doing it these days anyway. Gregory, we had to take yesterday off. How was your Mardi Gras?
It was awesome. Love me some Mardi Gras.
You're going to stick with that? Your Mardi Gras was awesome?
You think I had a bad day yesterday?
I don't understand how anyone had a good day. I had the hot redhead was sick. I was recovering from sick. And we have four kids who weren't sick. See, this is the disastrous part of the whole family.
Oh, I can relate to that because how did I spend Mardi Gras 2016?
Oh, were you in
the... I was in bed for the whole 24 hours of it.
It's good. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. It hurts.
I know.
It hurts, doesn't it?
Last year was horrible. This year was awesome.
Well, when we left the show on Monday night, I went home and started puking. And I didn't really stop until about 3:30 in the morning. Well, to be technical, those last few were just dry heaves. And so the next day, hey, let's go to Mardi Gras. So we pack up the kids. And I'm like, I'm recovering. I can fight through this, you know, just being the father of the year. And then about halfway through the day, Hot Redhead, of course, is like, well, I'm starting to feel sick now. And it stinks because Rex was sick last Wednesday, and then the middles were sick on Saturday, and the baby was sick on Sunday, and then it was my turn. And then the parents were sick yesterday, and the kids were healthy. Nothing like getting run over by your kids for an entire day. Now, something else I want to get to. I just had to lament a little bit, and I was using this show for therapy. And you understand that. I do it from time to time. Gregory, you told me to go back and get Wall Street Week. The chat with Daniel Skelly, the Morgan Stanley Wealth Management executive. Oh, I know exactly why you wanted me to get this stuff. It sounds like this guy listens to the show. All right, you want to go through this now, or you want to do Dow 21,000 first?
Oh, let's start with that because that's where we're headed.
Because it's a perfect setup.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're loading up the train.
All right, so
we're hooking up to the one that's rolling.
The Trump train?
Yeah.
Toot, toot. Hey, it's good for the market, good for business.
Hey,
fine by me.
I think he should do a darn joint Congress meeting every month.
Yeah, this is going to be the result, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. 24,000
okay.
In 6 months.
Now, there's not a whole lot to comment on, but the whole discussion here with Wall Street Week and Daniel Skelly, the Morgan Stanley Wealth Management executive, was based on earlier that Friday morning. The beautiful and talented Maria Bartiromo had an interesting back and forth with Steve Mnuchin, the new Treasury Secretary.
Yep.
So this little 21 seconds is sort of what spawned their conversation. It's just a little backdrop here.
Tax reform is our number one objective. We think it's absolutely critical to getting the economic growth. We need to make sure that the middle income gets a tax cut. We need to make sure that businesses are competitive with the rest of the world. There's trillions of dollars offshore that will come back, and this will create jobs, this will create investments, and we need to make sure our U.S. businesses are competitive.
Now, he's saying tax reform, that is their number one priority. Not the debts, not the deficit. So it's with that thought process that we go to Daniel Skelly. That's their number one goal.
Can I say something about the debt?
Sure, sure.
What you want to get to some point where you get economic growth, you stop yearly deficit spending. You're not going to fix the amount you piled up. That's just an unbelievable number. Go ahead.
Well, and I also like the focus that you're not going to be able to pay all your bills with 3% economic growth, with sub 3% economic growth.
How long have I been saying you got to get to 4?
Okay. So,
yeah.
That's exactly the conversation. You just summed up the first 4 minutes of their conversation.
But go ahead. They need to hear it.
Now, here's introducing Daniel Skelly, Morgan Stanley Wealth Management executive. And he was asked, why are the markets reacting so strongly to Trump? Now, he wasn't asked this today on why they reacted overnight. He was asked this Friday when we see the market jump on a tweet. We see stocks dive or gain on a tweet or on a comment or something he says offhand. And the market's always been responsive to presidents, but not like this, not this sensitive, not this quickly, and not this daily.
Yes, there's a lot of focus on the White House right now and some of the leadership there. But keep in mind, we had a dramatic change in the House and the Senate. I think that's the aspect that's not being talked about enough. And the fact that we have a Republican-controlled leadership broadly today is why the VIX is so low. I think volatility is low because the market's telling you, for the first time in 10 years, we've got the highest probability of getting some pro-growth policy done. So, yes, I think the White House is trying to live up to its expectations, and they're pushing expectations higher. But keep in mind that they might have some pretty serious support from the House and the Senate.
We're going to grow.
Yeah, and well,
they are going to change the tax code.
And if you are a company out there and you have the previous president that loves taxes and a current president that talks down on taxes, I mean, that's incentive. You want to grow your company. You always want to grow your company. You just need an excuse. And now it's like we don't even have any policies in place. They just needed the excuse is pin up demand.
You need jobs. You need people working instead of taking unemployment. They need to be taking checks that they pay taxes on. And yeah, you get some of the corporate taxes, but corporations should be about expanding, increasing jobs, and creating more tax revenue. And darn it, give them a break so they bring that money over here and do that.
So I like what Wall Street Week did there. They said, okay, so you're optimistic overall. Give me something specific, though, in the money that you're managing and where you're telling people what to do with their investments. Give me one thing. Just be specific in one part. What are y'all buying these days? And you know what the guy from Morgan Stanley said?
Yeah, I know.
Give us one stock, your best investment idea.
Sure.
Right now, when you look at the changes that are going to take place, both from a fiscal and a monetary standpoint, as well as the infrastructure spending, what would be the one investment that you think is your top investment?
Sure. So on a policy perspective, we like Wells Fargo a lot, okay? And so we started adding more to Wells last September in the heart of their account scandal. We saw a stock trading at 11 times earnings with a 3.5% dividend yield at the time. Now, of course, Wells has rallied post the election with the rest of the financial space, but it still hasn't regained its premium to the large cap banks. Go back 10, 15 years, Wells has typically traded at a 10 to 20% premium to the banks. Today it trades at a 10% discount. And the reason for which is, yes, it's rallied, but the whole sector has rallied as well.
Are you confident in the new management?
We're confident that they've made the changes to management that will matter for their earnings growth going forward and to regain their brand equity. But going back to your point about what's a name that could get affected by policy, we talked a moment ago about regulatory changes. I think the more the market sees regulatory changes to the financials, that's a name that will shoot higher to the upside. And also it's just interest rates, right? So it's fundamentals and policy.
They were up 2.42% today.
He says they still had 10% upside as of Friday, but a lot of people were taking upside
today.
Well,
they've got another 7 then. I would say on that, we had a discussion of buying them end of last week as well, but what we did was instead of buying them, there's still some risk. All this sitting over, they're in lawsuits, out the yin-yang, you know, out the yingling. So that's a little promotion there.
I got some in the fridge, by the way.
We're going to send them a bill for that. So we bought the financial sector in our exchange traded fund sector strategy is an example of that. So we did do that end of the week. And yeah, it's up, of course.
Oh, you scored today, that's for sure.
Oh, we scored on so everything today. We kind of are shifting people to cash back to 50% into their 401ks to get in, you know, the range of equities there. Well, was that a winner or what?
Oh, sweet Jesus. You did that right before the big pop today, huh?
Yeah, we did that on Monday.
All right. Well, that's a very optimistic move, Gregory.
Worked out pretty good.
Daniel Skelly tells you why he's optimistic. This is how they ended the interview. They're like, dude, we expected a little more doom and gloom out here, some pushback somewhere on the upside.
All right, it's been a great 2 months for the stock market. Expectations for total return equities this year?
Yeah, so we actually think equities are not overvalued. We think there could be 10 to 15% upside over the next 12 to 18 months. And the reason for that is we're seeing an economic recovery fundamentally. As you know, we had a pretty nasty old economy industrial recession. We came out of that last year. If you couple that with the earnings recovery that we're seeing and the potential for policy improvement, fiscal spending, infrastructure initiatives, deregulation, we think that's a cocktail for 10 to 15% upside.
That's the whole market.
Yeah. 24K.
So it's almost like this guy got to read the speech and see what was going to happen yesterday and today. But he had all this information Friday afternoon.
Yeah, Trump sent him the speech. As last week, I've just shifted to, yeah, we're going to 24,000 on the Dow. He gets his way. He does this. You know, I had a lunch meeting today, and I was kind of, and there was a few people that probably didn't vote Republican at the luncheon today. But that's where I was. I said, look, this isn't politics. This is about getting it done. And I said, you know what changes everything is people have hope. They have optimism. They believe this is going to get better. And when they, and this other half that's not believing, it's not going to take long that they get on board and said, yeah, this is making me money. This is getting me a job. I'm off the unemployment rolls. I'll pay you some taxes with this money. Things are going to grow.
504-260-0995. Dow at 21,000 next. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I got my shades on top, back rolling with the music jack. One on the wheel, one around you, baby. Sunset, I bet there's a chance we could get shown up, tangled up, laid back and lazy. Pour it on easy now, don't spill a bit. Nothing but time tonight. Let's get to killing it. Long as I'm rocking with you, girl. You know. Welcome back. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Go get it then. It's in the next room. I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Reach us via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app as well. I like this. We got a nice suggestion here. Who is this? Is that Emma? Is that who that is? Yeah, that is Emma. Gregory Ricks should change his name to Gregory Rocks.
Thank you.
That, you know, people do radio names. You don't have to stick with Gregory Ricks. Like, I could be James Savage. You know, Michael Savage, the radio host, you know what his real name is? It ain't Savage.
Mike Florence or something like that.
Oh, it's even worse than that. His real name's Michael Wiener.
Oh, yeah. Savage is a good replacement for Wiener.
If you're not going to be a congressman from New York, you're probably going to have to change that name. He's the only dude who can get away with it.
I don't know how you made it as a congressman, but you ended as a congressman over the Wiener.
God, how ironic is that? It's just beautiful. It's karmic, isn't it?
Oh,
and another one, Jon Stewart, the great comedian, host of The Daily Show for a decade and a half. What's his real name?
Don't know.
John Leibovich.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's come up on the show before because his brother is Andy Leibovich, who is president of the New York Federal Reserve, or was when we talked about
it
on the show.
I forgot about when you mentioned that. It's like, oh, yeah.
Well, you know why John Leibovich popped in my head when we talked about Anthony Weiner? Because one summer they were roommates in college in New Jersey. John Stewart, John Leibovich, and Anthony Weiner.
Yeah.
Head swing.
John had to like, gosh, and I really know that guy.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I got to crack some jokes on him, too. And he did. He tore him down. All right. So big news of the day. Dow at 21,000. Everyone's optimistic. How much credit? I don't like to get political on this show. This is almost like my oasis from politics. But how much of this was based on the speech we heard last night?
All of it.
Not 99% of it. 100% of it.
Yeah. You? We were like sideways yesterday. I know, Mardi Gras, folks in South Louisiana, like, what? The market was open? Yeah, it was open. It was basically a sideways day. actually was surprised. So there should have been optimism going to speak. They more than made up. So, oh, I'm. It's like the market said, God, Trump, I'm sorry. We were just, you know, we're like, on your speech. But once you deliver that, dude, let's go up 1.5%.
Well, what do you think about the analysis that one third of the jump between 20 and 21,000, 333 points exactly, were taken by the top three stocks in the Dow?
And they were?
Apple, Goldman Sachs, and Boeing.
Yeah, I can see that. Apple's going to get to move a lot of money back and get it to work. Boeing.
Defense.
Bills airplanes.
Yeah.
In a big way. And what was the other?
Goldman Sachs.
Financials. There you go.
Yeah, interest rates.
They're loving this.
Goldman Sachs, just they can't stop winning because you keep interest rates low, it destroys their competition and the small banks that would rise up and steal customers from them. And then when you raise the rates, after all the competition's gone, now they can actually make some money off of it, off their new market share.
Goldman Sachs always finds a way to make money. And you know, that's been one of my sayings over the years. Yeah, we'd like to make money like them, but we don't want to be them. They're not, you know, their customers don't always come out so well. We would like our customers to make money like it's Goldman Sachs, but we don't want to be them.
All right, so what do you think about the big day? Because to get there...
Well, let me say one other thing I'll throw in there.
Okay.
Three companies can really carry it, but they can also bring it down. Be careful with that, because I was thinking about that today, where there's, you know, a number of times where we've had the market go the other way, and what's causing it? Just a few companies. Everybody else is just kind of being dragged along. And in this case, everybody else is being dragged upward. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, when you look at the numbers here, this is an unusually high jump all across the board. The Dow Jones is up 1.5%, NASDAQ up 1.3%, S&P up more like 1.4%. But a 303 jump in one day is not a regular day. This was a rocket ship to the moon type day.
Yeah, we're mostly used to a 10% gain, a 10%. No, I'm sorry. A 0.10% gain, a quarter point gain, a 0.3 pullback. Oh, it's up 0.46. Sometimes you'll get the Russell. Oh, it moved one. The NASDAQ 0.75. Oh, and then we got a flat day. It was negative, and then right at the close it finished up. But this dadgum rally celebration.
And it didn't stop. I mean, it just took off, and we have the VIX went back under 13. It is at 12.54, or I should say stayed under 13. There's no fear out there. This was all just exuberant. Really, the only red on my short sheet is the VIX and the oil ETF that we follow, USO.
Yeah, I was looking up the VIX. What do you have on the VIX? It's not 12, is it?
No, 12.54 is what I have on the close of my VIX.
Let's see. He is off almost 3%.
So we have some of
my... And when you look at the chart, yeah, it was a gap down. There is no fear. There hasn't been fear since November, really.
All right, so
that big election win.
Yeah, right. That's been the last time we've seen the VIX do anything.
Look, if you're now, look, politics aside, you have money in 401k, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, big Bernie socialist. This is about making money. So, yeah, and you can dislike Trump, but you're making money. This is kind of like the present day Reagan. I had that discussion today with some people. And it's when Reagan won office, it's like, what's this movie? Movie star won the presidency? Like, what does he get? What's his foreign experience? You know, you know, what, he's going to handle a geopolitical situation? Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's governor of California. Like, whoop-de-doo.
Well, and also a late-in-life conversion, lifelong Democrat who, after years and decades of being an adult, decided I can't do this anymore. Yeah, there are a lot of parallels. Reality star, movie star.
But he could deal with the public, could be on a public stage, had a philosophy of cutting taxes, growing the economy. Oh, Libya messing with us? Well, just let's park a battleship outside of their coast and launch one ton. Well, it's like launching Volkswagens.
Right, over, filled with explosives.
Yeah, one-ton bombs. How'd that go for them? He did pretty good.
That's not a bad idea. Now we could just park a boat over, like, next to Syria and just have guys out there very overtly cleaning all the missiles, like, on the deck of the ship.
Polishing them before they take
them. Yeah, hey, don't mind us over here. Just cleaning some missiles. That's all.
And this, and you, look, give impressive speech. You can dislike him, but on the show last night, you saw Pelosi over there pouting. Remember, affordable. We should get that clip together so we can play it once in a while. Affordable, affordable. Expensive, expensive, expensive should have been what she was saying this was going to be. But he, and she's like pouting. He gave a solid speech, and what, you think he's up there lying? There's none of that. And the market is believing.
Okay, so Dow Jones, it didn't just break 21,000. It's at 21,115. It didn't spend any time being at 21,0. NASDAQ, 5904. S&P up to 2395 and a little bit of change here.
Yeah, it didn't have any struggle. Going back to the Dow, it didn't like, can we break through 21,000? It just leaped over it like, see ya.
Now, did you see Oprah's reaction? Did you hear her, see her little bit
of
news?
I don't know, but her bank account grew today.
Yeah, it did. Now, she made news today because she was asked about this whole Trump phenomenon, and she's like, you know, I'm kind of rethinking my previous position on I can't be president or I shouldn't be president or, you know, successful as I am. Certainly there's someone better than me. The whole Trump thing's kind of inspired her. That wouldn't be bad. I don't care if she's on the other side of the aisle. She's from the regular common stock of humanity. She would understand us more than most of the elite guys that end
up. If you had to pick a lady as president, how about a super successful businesswoman?
Self-made billionaire.
Safe.
Well, and look, comes from the entertainment world.
How could you say more? Self-made billionaire.
Comes from the entertainment world like Reagan and Trump. How weird is
hey,
that?
Maybe well, in, 8 years, she gets her shot.
So I think it was that. I think it was that statement right there and all the headlines today. Weight Watchers was up today 27.5%.
You're kidding
me. In 1 day, Gregory. Oh. Look at that chart. That is some mind-blowing stuff. It had a little bit of a jump up yesterday, but something happened. And I'm thinking it's the headlines where she says in 2020, it's going to be Oprah. And you know, Kanye, totally different person. Kanye wants to run in 2022. Also, they could be on the same ticket. I may vote for that.
No, yes. He is no way successful from a bit. Have you seen his the trail he leaves behind business-wise?
Oh, he's crazy. But you think Russia's going to invade the Ukraine if Kanye's president?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe so. 504-260-0995 if you have a financial situation. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Hey, welcome. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. Phone number, if you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also reach out to us via the Gregory Ricks & Associates app.
Hey, James, we're going to cover this a few times next few days. But first, I want to remind everybody, if you tune in to catch us on... give us three stations that we're on. WRNO, WJBO, and What's the Biloxi station?
Yeah, WJBO, example? News Radio, WJBO in Baton Rouge, and in Biloxi it's WBUV, News Talk 104.9.
Let me give you a hint. It's called the iHeart Radio app. It is the bomb for listening to music. You can like save playlists, and you could listen to May We All by Georgia Line 10 times in a row, and I haven't done that, but I've thought about it.
Maybe just 9 times?
No, actually like 3. But I've been known to do that in my music listening history, but it's cool to know you can do that. But better yet, you can catch Gregory Ricks and Winning at Life on the stream with iHeartRadio. And you know what? It's simple. Just remember WRNO. You can always type that in and get to us. If you find that we're not on the air, preempted, or whatever the case, and we've got listeners in Las Vegas, Canada, clients in California, North Carolina, Florida, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, because they're listening to us on the stream. So just remember that if you want to go get us. And if you have a financial situation, and I tell you what, another thing we always forget about is the scams. James, cost people money. Scams. When people can't afford it, scams. It steals their money. Scams. Just like, it's like paying for an A-share mutual fund. It's like they're charging you too much. And we don't talk about it enough. Phone number is 504-260-0995. We had a client call in today. He was like, I need $4,000 withdrawn from my account. I don't know how it got into this, but I think actually the client mentioned I have won $10.5 million and an E-Class Mercedes, but I need $4,000 to send to them so they could set up the transfer of the assets to me. How did you get that notice that you won? Oh, they sent me an email. Huh. Does the Powerball send people emails when they win? Do they ask for a setup fee? You know what I do when I get an email saying you've won?
Delete it.
I delete it. That's all I need. You had me at hello. Mm-hmm. You had me at I won.
You lost me.
You lost me at I won. It's delete, move on to the real world. Yeah, we had a client call into the office today. They won $10,500,000. So yeah, that's $10.5 million and an E-Class Mercedes. I handed it to James, and gosh, did you take 3 seconds at all? I don't know that it took you 3 seconds, and you said, "Oh, this is fake. Here's why. Here's why. Here's why." Well, I was just going, and there's 3 pages here, but I was going to the check. It's on a Bank America, and then they say, have a dollar sign, then in parentheses, dollar sign, U.S., $10.5 million written numerically. And then they have number. Oh, and then they repeat it, number dot.
Describing the picture of a canceled check that's in the email.
Yeah, the picture of a canceled check. Nobody sends you an email. Oh, by the way, how did you sign up for this lottery? Or I didn't. They just sent me an email. I won.
It's a horrible business model they have then.
It's a scam. And then if you call them up, they give you a phone number. You have an agent. Contact us. And if you call them, guess who we spoke to? The CEO.
Wow.
And then they gave him a list of names of the winners to talk to.
Did he call
any
of them?
So he sent them $4,000 to get the fee set, but they needed $4,000 more before they could send him the 10.5. If they ask for money, it's a scam. If they send it in an email, it's a scam. The Powerball is a good example. You kind of need the ticket with winning numbers. You need to sign the back, and you need to go turn it in so it's verified and locked in. Doesn't mean you have to collect. You can still get your act together. But you should secure them. They don't. Hey, when you've bought a Powerball, I know you've bought one.
Yes.
At some point. Did they ask for your email address?
No, not at all. They don't care. In fact, the onus is on you to contact them. They're not. No one's that eager to give away $10 million.
No, and you always hear about, this $10 million Powerball. Nobody's came forward. It's about to go back into the pool. They don't know who you are.
Don't care.
And no, they'd rather keep the money. You don't want to collect it? Fine with us. Don't reply to some email that you won money. Just help me out that way. And you know what? If you think you've won, but you kind of have this question, call my office and we will help you with that. I do not want you scammed.
Shouldn't they be calling your office if they're going to get $10.5 million anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to end up having to call on you eventually. I felt like Leonardo DiCaprio's character in Catch Me If You Can, because after they catch him, when they send him to prison, they were showing how useful he was to cops at identifying fraudulent checks. So if they had a check or they thought a check wasn't good, they would run it by him. And they brought him to the room, and there's this one scene that they put the check in front of him. They go, hey, we're just trying to figure out if this is – he's like, it's not legitimate. Like, before they even finish the sentence. And they go, you didn't even look at it. He goes, yeah, but there's no perforations on the edges. It's cleanly cut. Like, he didn't even need to look at it. That's what I felt like when you handed me that. I go, oh, this is
fake. The ultimate scammer is the foremost expert. But look, this is simple. Let's see. When I handed these docs to you, what was your first thoughts?
Before I even turned it right side up, because you handed it to me upside down, while I was turning it right side up, I recognized the WordArt template from Microsoft Word, what was it, 2003 or whatever it was, Microsoft Office 2003.
Let's see. What country would be perpetrating this with such old equipment?
Nigeria.
Yeah,
are they the go-to people for scams on the
Russia,
internet?
Russia. I don't know.
Singapore.
The Japanese wouldn't be caught dead, or India. You know, they wouldn't be caught dead with 2003 Microsoft.
Right. Maybe Windows XP. Microsoft Office, but not 2003. Yeah, that was an old, disgusting hack template
If you don't want to call me, call James.
Or, hey, just call your grandkid over and see if they can recognize chintzy word art from a word processor. I guarantee if they have $10.5 million to hand out, they're going to get Photoshop. They're not going to be cranking this out in Microsoft Office.
Okay, and if you're in doubt, you think you've won it all, call us. Two reasons. It could be a scam, and you will need financial advice if it's for real.
Yeah, and whoever that was in Periscope that says you still use 2003 version of Office, that's okay. That's all right. You're not scamming
anyone.
But
you're not scamming people, so you're not going to be figured out before you... Hey, if you don't have to buy new software, I'm good with that. You know, it still works.
Man, I remember years and years ago, I tried to do this as a radio bit. I called someone in Nigeria about the money I won, and I actually talked to someone, and it was hilarious because the guy had an accent. And I asked for permission to record him, and he said no. And so I couldn't use it, but the conversation I had was priceless. You have won $200,000, Mr. Parker. Like, he had the accent and everything. It was hilarious. I was like, this is not real. This is a Saturday Night Live scam. It can't be this easy to bust you people. All right. Hey, I got some audio here from some of the statements Trump was making last night that may have had the gigantic effect on the market today. I'm going to start with taxes here. This has got to be the biggest one.
Right now, American companies are taxed at one of the highest rates anywhere in the world. My economic team is developing historic tax reform that will reduce the tax rate on our companies so they can compete and thrive anywhere and with anyone.
All right, real quick, something else I learned. You know what the tax on Harley-Davidsons is in some countries, Gregory? It's pretty high.
At our meeting, I asked them, how are you doing? How is business? They said that it's good. I asked them further, how are you doing with other countries, mainly international sales? They told me without even complaining, because they have been so mistreated for so long that they've become used to it, that it's very hard to do business with other countries because they tax our goods at such a high rate. They said that in the case of another country, they tax their motorcycles at 100%. They weren't even asking for a change, but I am. I believe.
There you go. Harley has 100% tax on their motorcycles in some countries. Never had a president go to bat for him. You think he can do it?
Yeah. If you want to deal back this way, that's got to go.
Just telling all these corporations we're going to have someone to go to bat for you, whether we win or not. That's probably 100
that
of the 300 points.
Huge.
Right there, yeah.
But their stock went up today.
504-260-0995. We'll be right back with the quote on Harley stock. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. You can get a financial fix today for a better tomorrow. We can help explain the Trump rally, the Federal Reserve. We will dissect that and tell you the truth. Well, we can interpret it. I don't know if there's any truth there. Just kind of kidding. Oh, this is Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. If you want to call in, get a little help, 504-260-0995. Your hosts are myself, Gregory Ricks, and James Parker. We do this live every night at 7, the Daily Wrap, Saturdays from 10 to 1. Download the iHeartRadio app so you can stream us if you're preempted, can't find us, just whatever the reason might be. Maybe you're possibly in Baton Rouge and the show might not continue. Well, you don't know. Things could happen. We're on the stream. Remember the call signs, WRNO. Real easy to find.
All right. Hey, we got a great caller on the break there who was bringing up what may be the second most important effect of today's rally. And that's the fact that here in 2 weeks, the Ides of March, the Federal Reserve has another meeting where they could raise the rates. And the likelihood, the surveyed economists, 80% of them believe, yes, there will be a rate hike here in 2 weeks.
Well, that's a big change from 2 weeks ago.
Where
we were, what, 36%?
Yeah, and it had inched up to maybe
look,
even 50-50 yesterday.
I don't know. Just because the market's going up, do we have that tax package done?
No.
Do we have the debt ceiling resolved?
No.
Have we changed Obamacare?
No.
Well, that's what the Fed said in their minutes. No. Y'all are... Look, do not fool the public. There's no rate hike coming in 2 weeks.
Man, they have every excuse in the world to hike it.
And how many times have they had that?
At least 10 in the last 2 years, yeah.
We've been over this so many times, and I'm not falling for it. Anyway, you can bet them all back. I'm on the no side. You want to do it?
No, I wouldn't dare do that. I don't believe that 80%.
You don't want to lose, huh?
I want the rate. See, this is what the hard part is. I want the rates to be hiked.
Oh, I do too, but they're not doing it. Go read the minutes.
All right, let's get back to this
Harley
speech here.
Well, Harley Davidson at the break, 100% tariff in some countries. $58.40 is what it closed at, up $2.02. That's a 3.58% increase. Yes, Harley's loving some Trump train.
Well, look, you get rid of 100% tax overseas. That might help sales just a little bit.
Yeah, help jobs more.
Be able to cut the price of your motorcycle in half.
Yeah, some Harleys and hire some more people to put them together.
I kind of want to find out what countries are doing this to the hogs, man.
We were going to rain on those countries.
What's the matter? You want everyone running around on chintzy motorcycles? Is that what you want?
That's what those scooters. Yeah, the little bicycles with the little... The little motor.
Yeah,
Come on.
What kind
they
of fruit
could be on
could drive that, right?
Harley. Hog.
All right. Can I give you some stuff I didn't like?
Yes.
This infrastructure
hey,
spending
or balance.
Stuff.
We got to have the good with the bad.
Yeah. Well, here's the bad. I don't like the sound of all this infrastructure spending. Didn't we already try this and it didn't work?
Another Republican president, Dwight D. Eisenhower, initiated the last truly great national infrastructure program, the building of the interstate highway system. The time has come for a new program of national rebuilding.
Nope, don't like it.
Okay, let me see. Now, here's the comparison. I thought about that because it's every president. Oh, we're going to rebuild the infrastructure. Well, this one, we're going to lay some pipelines where the one just kind of danced around it the past 8 years. This one's, we're going to build some pipelines and use U.S.-made steel. Okay, now back to the bridges now. Could there be a difference that we actually do spend on infrastructure and replace the old wore-out-ass bridges, crumbling roads? We actually really do it. Could that be? Because what I'd like to know is what bridges did they create new funding for that was replaced in the past 8 years compared to what we do the next 4 to 8? Think about it. Where he's talking about, does it actually get done versus what's that lip service?
I just don't even want to know if I want to take that risk after we just got burned exactly 8 years ago.
It's about the doing. You know,
because
I don't want to drive over a bridge that's going to fall in the dadgum water.
No one does that.
It does. I've seen it on the news.
Only if there's a natural disaster or some idiot in a rig hits it.
Up
or
in New
there's
Jersey
a flood.
Somewhere, I remember a few years back, this bridge just collapsed. There was no nice sunny day. There was no flood.
Are you thinking about the one in Minneapolis, the I-35 bridge? Is that what you're thinking about?
Maybe so. I might have the town wrong, but it was on the news.
It fell apart. It absolutely collapsed. And it collapsed.
And thank goodness they replaced the Huey Long's lines. Whenever you drove it, didn't you like feeling, you know, could this be it? This time I'm driving over it?
Yeah.
Do you feel that way now?
But it's only because it was narrow, not because it was on the verge of collapse.
Oh,
they did kind of sway in the wind, though, didn't it? That's a freaky bridge.
That thing, you know, there was cracks in the braces. You just could see it.
All right, but the one that collapsed up in Minneapolis, they were actually working on it at the time. That they were doing construction on it.
Yeah, a little late.
Well, no, it was the construction. It was the fixing of the bridge that screwed up the engineering.
Here's where I'm at. We can run comparisons. Well, tell me what was done in the past, because he was all about spending infrastructure. That's always the thing, but there's a difference between talking and doing. I want to see the doing. That's what this whole deal's about now, is really cutting taxes. Let's fix health care. And I tell you what, I changed health care plans. I'm the final say at my firm, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, if I could flip back to a hat who we had last year, I'd flip it right now. Right now. I am not happy with the change, and this rising costs affected me, and now I'm paying out the yingling more. Oh, I'm like livid.
I like what you did there, the yingling.
Yeah.
Kind of helps you calm it back down. But look, a couple of pushbacks on that. The two things they say on infrastructure spending, crumbling roads and bridges, I can make the case we don't have crumbling roads and bridges. And even if we did, that it shouldn't be handled at the federal level. It should be handled at the state level. The people who should worry about the bridges in Louisiana are people who drive over them, i.e. Louisianans. But the pushback on that is this whole idea that it's an economic stimulus. If we just spend $1 trillion on economic stimulus and we didn't get the 3% growth that year, much less any of the 7 years after that, then it's not an economic stimulus.
True.
All right. So I guess we can find some place to agree with on that.
It's got to be the doing. Really do something.
He talked a lot about health care. You want to get bogged down in that before we...
Yeah, let's do. Is that some of your dislikes?
Let me do the stimulus barf real quick. Hang on.
To launch our national rebuilding, I will be asking Congress to approve legislation that produces a $1 trillion investment in infrastructure of the United States, financed through both public and private capital, creating millions of new jobs.
All right, the second part of that.
This effort will be guided by two core principles: Buy American and Hire American.
Well, that's a bad idea.
What?
Okay, American steel. If American steel, buy American steel to do a pipeline or to build the road or whatever, if it costs five times as much as the Chinese steel, that means we can build only one-fifth of the roads with it. It's a horrible waste of money.
you've got to make a commitment to America. You've got to make America great. Maybe we spend a little bit more money, but what is the domino effect of that? Really? You want some chintzy Chinese pipe that is supposed to last 100 years that lasts 50.
Well, no, you have your inspectors and you buy the properly graded stuff. You buy stuff that
really works. What was that flooring company that was selling Chinese wood that was poisoning the kids?
And the Chinese drywall? Sure. Look, if you're good, if you can get a similar or comparable non-toxic product.
Do we always have to sell Chinese stuff?
Well, can it be Canada or Mexico then? I'm just saying, look, if you can only build one-fifth of the roads, that's one-fifth of the jobs, one-fifth of the hours, one-fifth of the salaries for the Americans who will actually be welding them together under our bridges that are crumbling.
Maybe if we're buying enough U.S. steel, the price comes down. Volume? Really? Think about the TVs. Let's see. When these giant screen TVs came out, what, 15 years ago? What'd they cost? Too dadgum much. Now it's like a song to have a big screen TV.
Yeah, I got a 43-incher for $250.
You're going to buy us a lot of pipe.
All right. That's going to do it for the show. Come back tomorrow. We'll do it again, 7 o'clock. In the meantime, your home away from the show is GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.